الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue reading in the tarjama of أبي عبد الله محمد ابن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى In our previous class we were reading about his works and likewise his status and rank and knowledge rahimahullah ta'ala and in memorization and we had seen a narration that some of the people mentioned they saw Abu Zur'a al-Razi rahimahullah ta'ala jalisan bayna yaday Muhammad ibn Ismail yas'aluhu ala ilal al-hadith ka'annahu sabi sitting in front of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, asking him about the defects and the deficiencies found, and the hidden defects and deficiencies found in the narrations, as if he was a young child. And this man here, Abu Zur'a al-Razi, his status likewise is high. And the statement has great weight with those who know him. Abu Zur'a rahimahullah ta'ala, how he humbled himself in this manner, and he's found sitting in front of Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala as if he is a child, and he's showing the humbleness because he is an imam himself rahimahullah ta'ala. Before we continue reading in the biography of Bukhari, we'll just mention something briefly about Abu Zur'a al-Razi rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the students here of al-Imam al-Bukhari, and he was also not far from him. They were in the similar status, a similar tabaqa, in age, and likewise in chain. But because of Bukhari's status and rank, even his peers would learn from him, and even some of his mashayikh would learn from him and benefit from him, and the likes. But Abu Zur'a al-Razi, his name is Ubaidillah ibn Abd al-Karim, and his biography is full of benefit. And it's mentioned about him that someone swore that his wife would be divorced if Abu Zur'a didn't memorize 100,000 hadith. They said if he didn't memorize 100,000 hadith, then his wife is divorced. And they became into a dispute about this affair. And so he swore by Allah that his wife would be divorced if Abu Zur'a didn't memorize 100,000 hadith. So they came to Abu Zur'a, rahimahullah ta'ala, and they asked him about that. And he said, say to him, amsik alayhi zawjata. Tell him he can keep his wife. Tell him he can keep his wife. Meaning that he memorized more than 100,000 narrations. This is from the amazing affairs. The scholars of hadith, they were known for this issue, but some of them even more, greater than others. But that which we want to benefit from here is that which we all hope to have. And Abu Zur'a al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 264. And he is an ayah with regards to Husn Khatima, the way that he died, rahimahullah ta'ala. And it's mentioned here in Sir Alam al-Nubala, in the 13th volume on page 85, in the end of his tarjama. And he has spent his whole life in knowledge, and the knowledge of hadith and memorizing hadith. And he was known likewise for being stern in defending the aqidah and the creed. Him and likewise along with him, Abu Hatim al-Razi and Abu Zur'a al-Razi. They're known as al-Raziyan. And they have aqidah al-Raziyan. And where they defended the creed of Ahl Sunnah. And they mentioned the proper belief in the creed that which they learned from the scholars of hadith all through the lands. And that they have met. So it's mentioned here at the time of his death, he was on his deathbed. He was on his deathbed, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Zur'a. And it's mentioned here, Ibn Wara, also from the scholars of hadith, he says, Hadartu ana wa Abu Hatim inda wafati Abu Zur'a. That me, Abu Wara, he says, me and Abu Hatim, both of us, we were present at the death of Abi Zur'a, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he's on his deathbed. And it's known that from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that the one who is dying, that you make talqeen for him. Tulaqinuhu la ilaha illallah. Tulaqinuhu la ilaha illallah. A talqeen is whenever you have someone repeat after you. This is when you have somebody repeat after you. And so that you ask them whenever they're dying to say La ilaha illallah, and you remind them of this affair. But here, and both of them are younger and lower in status than Abu Zur'a. And Abu Zur'a, he's an imam. And Abu Zur'a, he's an imam. And they're shy from him. They're shy from him that they're going to tell him. And he remind him of this narration and remind him of this sunnah. And he's in the situation where he's in pain and he's dying. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to remind him of this affair. So he says, فَقُلْنَا كَيْفَ نُلَقِّنُ مِثْلَ أَبِي زُرْعَ. They said to each other, how are we going to make talqeen? Tell him to repeat after us. And we learn from him, and he is from the best of the scholars that we know and the people of hadith. So they said, how are we going to make talqeen for the likes of Abi Zur'a? فَقُلْتُ. So he said, and this is what they're thinking. So then they said, قُلْتُ حَدَّثَنَا أَبُو عَاسِمٍ. Abu Asim, this is preceded. This was from the greatest Shaykh of Bukhari, An-Nabil. So they said, Hadathana Abu Asim, Hadathana Abdul Hamid, Ibn Ja'far, Qala Abu Hatim. And that was Abu Wara. He started narrating a chain of narration. And then after that, Abu Hatim, he said, Hadathana Bundar, Fi Akharin, Qala Hadathana Abu Asim, Qala Hadathana Abdul Hamid, Fafataha Aynahi. At this time, Abu Zur'a, he heard them preparing and narrating these chains of narration. So they didn't know how they're going to get him to say La ilaha illallah. And they were shy to tell him and need to order him to say La ilaha illallah. They said, what are we going to do? So Abu Wara, he started narrating a chain of narration. He said, Hadathana Abu Asim, Hadathana so and so and so and so. So Abu Hatim, he realized likewise, and he knows this chain and the hadith that it leads to. And the hadith that it leads to. So Abu Hatim, he started mentioning another chain, Hadathana so and so and so and so, also on Abi Asim. Until at this time, Abu Zur'a, he opened his eyes. He opened his eyes, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa qala Hadathana Bundar, qala Hadathana Abu Asim, qala Akhbarana Abdul Hamid, qala Hadathana Sari ibn Abi Arib, an Kathir ibn Murra, an Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah. And they said in the narration, kharaja ruhuhu madha, the ha and the word Allah. And they got him to narrate, and he started narrating the chain. He realized the chain that they're narrating, so he finished the chain. And then the chain, it leads to Mu'adh. And Mu'adh, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the whole hadith, man kana akhiru kiramihi min ad-dunya la ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. But he didn't finish the hadith. He said, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi min ad-dunya la ilaha illallah." They said, "Kharaja ruhuhu ma'ha." And he said, "Allah." The ha on the word Allah. They said his soul went with that. His soul went with that. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Meaning that's the last thing that he said. He didn't even finish the narration. Dakhal al-jannah. This is the end of the narration. But this is an amazing affair. He spent his life in this manner. He spent his life in this manner, and he narrating and defending the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the success he was given at his death. And we all hope to have a good ending in this manner. They're striving literally until the very last moment with the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's another amazing affair. The one who was making talqeen here for him, Abu Hatim, also Ar-Razi. His name is Muhammad ibn Idris. He died in 277. It's mentioned about him that his son, Ibn Abi Hatim, he came to him whenever he was on his deathbed. He was sick in the end of his life. Likewise, his son did not know he was dying at this moment, though. His son did not know that he was dying at this moment, though. And Abu Hatim and Abu Zur'a, both of them were very famous for knowing the narrators and their categories and their ranks and their statuses. And Ibn Abi Hatim, he used to go to both of them diligently and learning from them and asking them all the time. Instead, as mentioned, that the Ibn Abi Hatim's name is Abdurrahman Ibn Abi Hatim. He used to go to his father Abu Hatim and ask him while he's eating and ask him while he's walking and ask him while he's laying, and he would go to him and he would be reading hadith to him while he's in the bathroom, and he said, maybe I would read with him while he's walking or while he's laying down, or whenever he's eating I would sit there and I'll be reading to him. This is how diligent he was to benefit from his father. So in the end of his life, he's on the deathbed, but his son does not know that he's dying. So he is researching, and he has a name. I don't recall the name now, but he's asking his father, and he mentioned so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. A sahabiyun hu am tabi'i. Is he a sahabi or a tabi'i? Is this man a sahabi or a tabi'i? So his father, he He answered, Tabi'i, but he can't hear. Ibn Abi Hatim, I couldn't hear, I couldn't understand. So I raised my voice. What did you say? Is he a Sahabi or a Tabi? He said it again. He said something, I couldn't hear him. And then, so I said it again. Is he a Sahabi or a Tabi? He said, I didn't know he was dying. So he finally looked up and he raised his voice. He said, Tabi'i. And he died like this. He died in this manner. He's a Tabi'i. And this is very important to know, to determine the narrations. Who was a companion, who was not a companion. And the one who was a companion, his narrations are accepted. And the one who was not a companion, if he has to narrate on a companion. And so another affair, he's spending his life to his very last breath, defending the sunnah, and busy with the affairs of the sunnah. And this is the likes of these people here. So Abu Zura, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's found here in this narration sitting like a baby. Sitting like a baby in front of Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, learning and memorizing. This is a sign, yani, who was truthful with Allah? The one who is truthful with Allah azza wa jalla, Allah will never abandon him or leave him. Rather, he will give him a good ending. He will give him a good ending. Those who are sincere and those who are truthful in their efforts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah to make us from the truthful. And we ask Allah to make us from the truthful. So here, al-Dhahabi now, he says, ذِكْرُ حِفْظِهِ وَسَاعَةِ عِلْمِهِ وَالذَّكَائِهِ. And here is the narrations that al-Dhahabi, he mentioned about his memorization and his vast knowledge and intelligence and cleverness. And al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, narrating narrations, he says that it was heard from Muhammad ibn Ismail. He said, كَتَبْتُ عَنْ أَلْفِ شَيْخٍ وأكثر عن كل واحد منهم عشرة آلاف أو أكثر وما عندي حديث إلا أذكر إسناده. He said, I have narrated on a thousand scholars, a thousand different teachers or more, and every one of them I have narrated 10,000 or more narrations, and there is not one hadith except for I know and memorize its chain. Likewise, it's been narrated that it was heard from Bukhari that he said a month before he died, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, كَتَبْتُ عَنْ أَلْفٍ وَثَمَانِينَ رَجُلًا, that I have taken hadith, meaning I have taken hadith and learned narrations from 1,080 men. لَيْسَ فِيهِمْ إِلَّا صَاحِبُ حَدِيث. There's not amongst any one of them except for he is a scholar of hadith. كانوا يقولون الإيمان قول وعمل يزيد وينقص. All of them, any all of them who I learned from, that I didn't take knowledge and write down knowledge except for all of them were صاحب حديث, يعني a scholar of hadith, from the people of hadith. And all of them, they used to say الإيمان is statement and action, and it increases and decreases. يعني an indication of the creed of Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the creed of Ahl Sunnah, alhamdulillah, and that, yani, as has proceeded in the previous class, he mentioned that he was not like those other people, that he was diligent who he learned from and who he took knowledge from, and he only took knowledge from those who were reliable and trustworthy, and he would verify them and he would ask about them and the likes like this. As for others, then they did not have care or concern. So here's another clarification of that. Yani, that he took knowledge from 1,080 different men, and all of them was a person of knowledge, a person of hadith, yani a person of the proper creed and the proper deen, and all of them, they had the belief that al-Iman is a statement and an action, and it increases and it decreases. Here we have another narration mentioning the diligence of Abu Khari rahimahullahu ta'ala, the diligence that he has to learn and to benefit from his time, and likewise the amazing affair of his memorization. So they said that they heard him, the people saying to him, there was two of them along with him, كان أبو عبد الله البخاري يختلف معنا إلى مشايخ البصرة وهو غلام. And this is narrated from some of the people of knowledge. They said that Abu عبد الله البخاري رحمه الله تعالى, he used to go with us to the mashayikh and the scholars of hadith in al-Basra, and he was a young boy, وهو غلام. فلا يكتب, and he did not used to write. حتى أتى على ذلك أيام, until a number of days passed by, فكنا نقول له إنك تختلف معنا ولا تكتب فما تصنع. They used to say to him, here you're coming with us to the scholars of Hadith, and you don't even write. What are you doing? What are you doing anyways? Yani finding fault with him. Here you are accompanying us to the gatherings of Hadith, and you're not writing nothing. Yani, what are you doing anyways? فَقَالَ لَنَا يَوْمٍ بَعْدَ سِتَةَ عَشْرَ يَوْمٍ He says, so he said to us one day, after 16 days, إِنَّكُمْ قَدْ أَكْفَرْتُمَا عَلَيَّ وَلَحْوَأَلْحَحْتُمَا عَلَيَّ فَأَعْرِضَ عَلَيَّ مَا كَتَبْتُمَا He said, verily, you guys are talking too much. You went too far. Yani, tell me what you have written. Tell me what the both of you have written. He said, فَأَخْرَاجَنَا إِلَيْهِ مَا كَانَ عِنْدَنَا فَزَادَ عَلَى خَمْسَةَ عَشْرَ أَلْفِ حَدِيثِ He said, so we brought out that which we had written in those days. And it was more than 15,000 narrations. And it was more than 15,000 narrations. So he said, فَقَرَأَهَا كُلَّهَا الْضَحِ قَلْبِهِ حَتَّى جَعَلْنَا نُحْكِمُ كُتُبُنَا بِحِفْذِهِ He says, so at this time, Al-Bukhari, he narrated every one of them from his memorization. They pulled out their books and they said, we have more than 15,000 hadith. Yani, not necessarily hadith, but they used to consider one hadith with all of the chains. With all of the chains. Maybe one hadith will come, and for this one hadith, it would have 15 or more chains that lead to it. So they would consider all of this hadith. And so one hadith will come and there will be, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then a companion, and then a tabi'i, and then maybe after the tabi'i, atba' tabi'i, and then he would have a number of students. And he would have a number of students from that tabaqa. And then each one of these could maybe have two students here, or three students here. So they would memorize all these paths that lead to one chain, and they would consider it a hadith. So from this aspect, this is whenever they mention this great number of narrations that they memorize, yani, including all of the paths that lead to one narration. They're called turuq al-hadith. Turuq al-hadith. So one hadith, maybe it has 10 or more turuq, or even sometimes up to 30 turuq for one hadith. Some of these turuq, or some of this one may be authentic, this one may be weak, this one may be like this, in this manner. So they're mentioning here they had 15,000, more than 15,000 narrations. And 15,000 narrations with chains. And he said that Bukhari, he recited them all to us from his memory, and we started to fix and correct in our books according to what he had memorized. According to what he had memorized. ثُمَّ قَالَ Now Bukhari, he tells them, and after they're finding fault with him, and blaming him, and he's a young ulam, and a young boy at this time, أَتُرَوْنَ أَنِّي أَخْتَلِفُ هَدَرًا وَأُضَيُّ أَيَامِي فَعَرَفْنَا أَنُّهُ لَا يَتَقَدَّمُهُ أَحَدٌ He said to them, do you think I'm going to come here with no benefit whatsoever and waste my time and let my days go away like this? I came all the way over here and I'm going to waste my time and my days like this and I'm not going to be benefiting? This is what you're thinking about me? He said after that, he said, we knew that nobody can be, and nobody is ahead of Bukhari, and nobody has preceded him. And even one, and he's at a young age at this time, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So it says here, again, and he mentioning this affair, كَانَ أَهْلُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ مِنَ الْبَصْرِيِّينَ يَعْدُونَ خَالِفَهُ فِي طَالِبِ الْحَدِيثِ وَهُوَ شَابٌ حَتَّى يَغْلِبُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَيُجْرِسُوهُ فِي بَعْضِ الطَّرِيقِ فَيَجْتَمِعُ عَلَيْهِ أُلُوفٌ أَكْثَرُهُم مِمَّنْ يُكْتَبُ عَنْهُ وَكَانَ شَابًا لَمْ يَخْرُجْ وَجْهُهُ They mention here again that the people of knowledge from the people of Basra, they used to run behind him. They used to run behind him in search of hadith while he is a young man, a youth, until they would overcome him and they would stop him and they would sit him somewhere on the path, and they would gather around him until there would be a thousand, until there would be thousands around him, and the majority of them, they themselves are scholars who people take narrations from, who people write hadith from. And he says, and at this time he was a youth, a young shab, and he did not even have any hair. Yani on his face yet. He did not have any hair on his face yet. After this, Al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions the great story of whenever Al-Bukhari, he entered Baghdad. And Ahlul Baghdad, they wanted to try him and to test his memorization. And they had plotted a plan to test him, and either hearing about him and hearing about his memory and about his status and rank. So they had plotted a plan to try to deceive him and trick him to try his memorization. So Al-Bukhari, he mentions this affair whenever he al-Bukhari qadima Baghdad, fasamiya bihi ashabu al-hadith, fajtama'u wa amadu ila 100 hadith, faqalabu mutunaha wa asanidaha, wa ja'alu matn hadha al-isnad hadha, wa isnad hadha al-matn hadha, wa dafa'u ilayhi أو دفعوا إلى كل واحد عشرة أحاديث ليلقوها على البخاري في المجلس. So he says here, this is the narration of whenever he came to Baghdad, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the people of Hadith heard about him. So they all got together, and they got 100 narrations, and they flipped the chains and the text. The one Hadith, it has a matan, which is the text of the Hadith, and then it has a chain. So they got 100 narrations, and they put the chain of this one on the metin of that one, and the metin of this one on the chain of that one. Yani they mixed them up like this. Like every hadith, it has a specific chain for that hadith, how it came to them, and narrator, and the likes like this. So they took these hadith, and they put this chain on that hadith, and that hadith on this chain, and changing them up, and mixing them around, until they did this with 100 hadith. And then they gave 10 people, every one of them 10 hadith. 10 individuals, every one of them has 10 hadith, and all of the chains and all of the metin are all mixed up, in order to narrate them to Bukhari in the gathering. So he says, فَاجْتَمَعَ النَّاسِ وَانْتَدَبَ أَحَدُهُمْ. He says, so the people all gathered around, and one of them, he stood up to speak with Bukhari. فَسَأَلَ بُخَارِي عَنْ حَدِيثِ مِنْ أَشْرَتِهِ فَقَالَ لَا عَرِفُهُ وَسَأَلُهُ عَنْ آخَرَ فَقَالَ لَا عَرِفُهُ وَكَذَلِكَ حَتَّى فَارَغَ مِنْ أَشْرَتِهِ. He said, so one of them got up and he started asking Bukhari about a narration from his 10. So Bukhari says, I don't know this narration. And so he narrated to him another narration. And Bukhari, he said, I don't know this narration either. Until he finished with the 10, all 10 of them, Bukhari, he says, I don't know this narration. I don't know this narration. So he says, فَكَانَ الْفُقَهَا يَلْتَفِتُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ وَيَقُولُونَ أَرَجُلُ فَهِمٍ وَمَنْ كَانَ لَا يَدْرِي قَضَى عَلَى الْبُخَارِ بِالْحَجِزِ. وَمَنْ كَانَ لَا يَدْرِي قَضَىٰ عَلَى الْبُخَارِي بِالْعَجِزِ. So now the people of knowledge around them, they're looking at each other like, well, I thought, this is Bukhari. He don't know the hadith? And he don't, 10 hadith, he doesn't know one of them? And the people are thinking, and those who did not know of the affair or know about the chains and the likes like this, they're thinking, oh, Bukhari, he doesn't know anything. And I thought that he memorized any of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, so ثم انتدب آخر ففعل كما فعل الأول. And then the next one, he got up, he did the same thing. The whole time he says, والبخاري يقول لا أعرفه. ثم الثالث إلى تمام العشرة الأنفوس. عشرة أنفوس. He said, and then this happened, the third one, the same thing happened. Every time Bukhari, he says, I don't know this hadith. I don't know this hadith. All the way until the last of the 10. He said, I don't know this hadith. وَهُوَ لَا يَزِيدُهُمْ عَلَى لَا أَعْرِفُهُ. And he would not say anything more to them except, I don't know it. لَا أَعْرِفُهُ. I don't know this hadith. فَلَمَّا عَلِمَ أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ فَرَّغُوا إِلْتَفَتَ إِلَى الْأَوَّلْ مِنْهُمْ. So whenever he knew that they were finished, and he presenting their narrations, he looked at the first one from them. فَقَالَ أَمَّا حَدِيثُكَ الْأَوَّلْ فَهَكَذَا. As for the first narration that you mentioned, you said it like this. And he mentioned it to it with the chain and the matan, how he mentioned it when it's all mixed up. He said, وَثَانِي كَذَا وَثَالِثْ كَذَا إِلَى عَشْرَ. And the second one you mentioned is like this, and the third one all the way to the 10. Meaning Abu Khari, he memorized what they mentioned to him from chains and narrations, and they're mixed. He memorized it on the spot. He memorized it on the spot. فَرَدَّ كُلَّ مَتَنْ إِلَى إِسْنَادِهِ. And he said, and what I know is like this. You said it like this, the first one and the second one. And what I know is like this and like this and like this and like this. And until he finished with all 10 of them, and he was done with them. And he said, فَأَخَرَّ لَهُ النَّاسُ بِالْحِفْظِ فَأَخَرَّ لَهُ النَّاسُ بِالْحِفْظِ فَكَانَ إِبْنُ صَعِدٍ إِذَا ذَكَرَهُ يَقُولُ الْكَبْشُ النَّطَّاحُ الْكَبْشُ النَّطَّاحُ. Yani he continued, rahimahullah ta'ala, yani until he finished all 10 of them like this. And yani he mentioned, so basically, yani to summarize, he memorized the 100 narrations on the spot and verified that they were all wrong and corrected all of them according to his own memory, what he has learned, rahimahullah ta'ala. Rahimahullah ta'ala. As for you, you narrated like this, the first one, the second one, the third one. And what I know is that it's like this. And he returned them back all properly. And then at this time, all of the people realized and they affirmed that Bukhari, he was yani the imam and the leader and from the best of the scholars of hadith. He mentions here, Ibn Sa'id, And one of the scholars of hadith, whenever Bukhari, he would be mentioned, he used to say, Al-Kabsh al-Nattah, and they gave him the nickname of Al-Kabsh. Al-Kabsh al-Nattah, Al-Kabsh is a ram, is a ram. And Nattah is the Kabsh that is the ram that is really, really bucking heads. Yani, that's what they say, he's bucking heads. Yani, so Bukhari, he came through there and he was bucking heads, yani. That's the meaning of the yani, like he was making their heads spin. They were trying to come at him and he was yani al-kabsh and al-tah, yani amazing affair. Yani, with his memorization, they could not yani deceive him or trick him in this affair. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, al-kabsh and al-tah, yani the bucking ram, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says here, mentioned Bukhari about himself. He said, تَفَكَرْتُ أَصْحَابَ أَنَسٍ فَحَضَرَنِي فِي سَاعَةٍ ثَلَاثُ مِيَةٍ. He said, at one time I was thinking or remembering the students of Anas ibn Malik. I was thinking about them and pondering over them, and in one moment I could remember 300 narrators who narrated on Anas, and remembering them by their names. It's mentioned about him. Likewise, they tried to do the same thing to him in Sarmaqand, and they had over 400 people around him, and they tried to do the same thing in 7 days and tried to get him to make a mistake. It said, فَأَدْخَلُوا إِسْنَادِ الشَّام فِي إِسْنَادِ الْإِرَاقِ وَإِسْنَادِ الْيَمَنِ فِي إِسْنَادِ الْحَرَمَيْنِ. And they said, so they tried to narrate to him and get him to mess up, so they mentioned the narrations and they mixed the chains from Sham with the chains of Iraq, and the chains of Yemen with the chains of Al-Haramain in Mecca and Medina. Yani, because in every land there are scholars there, and there are known narrations that were proceeding from there. And in chains that were coming from different lands. And so they're mixing up the different lands, and they're going to try to trick Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, but none of this affected him. And he corrected all of them. And they realized that he was Imam Al-Muhaddithin wa Amir Al-Muhaddithin fi al-hadith rahimahullahu ta'ala. Al-Bukhari, he mentioned about himself, yani we seen yesterday that he wrote Sahih al-Bukhari in 16 years, yani, and the issue with him and this, all throughout his travels, he's writing and he's reviewing and the likes. So as he's traveling through the lands, he's collecting narrations and he's writing and he's putting one here and one there and reviewing and the likes like this. He says, رُبَّ حَدِيثَ سَمِعْتُهُ بِبَصْرَةٍ كتبته بالشام وربا حديث سمعته بالشام كتبته بمصر. He said, maybe I hear a hadith in Al-Basra and I'll write it in Sham, and maybe I'll hear a hadith in Sham and I'll write it in Egypt. Yani, meaning that his memory was yani of the precise and of precision, and he would take so many narrations, he would memorize here and not have a chance to write it down until he was in another land and in another place. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's mentioned here about some of his mashaykh, yani those whom he learned from, that they also bore witness to his virtue. And from them, it was said to Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, yani from the students, from the teachers of Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, إِذَا انْتَخَبْتُ مِنْ كِتَابِ Al-Bukhari, he mentioned about his shaykh, إذا انتخبت من كتابه نسخ تلك الحديث نسخ تلك الحديث وقال هذه الحديث انتخبها محمد بن إسماعيل من حديثه. يعني البخاري, his sheikh إسماعيل بن أبي أويس, he mentioned that Bukhari, he would take from his teacher's narrations, and he would take narrations from him, and he would only select a few of them that he would keep. And then his teacher would tell him, which ones did you want from me? And the ones that he took from his narrations that he kept, then those are the ones that he would keep on the side. And he would say, these narrations of my narrations, these are the ones Bukhari has selected. These are the ones Bukhari has selected. Meaning sometimes he would have a book of narrations or a number of narrations. And Bukhari, he would look at them and he would say, I'll take this one, and this one. You can keep the rest of them. But the rest of them, I don't want to take these narrations. So that particular sheikh, he would consider this a virtue, and he would take the ones that Bukhari selected and he would put that on the side. And he would say, these are my narrations here that Bukhari chose. Any indication of his status and his rank. We see here that now he has another teacher. His name was Abdullah ibn Munir. So Al-Firabari, he says, رأيت Abdullah ibn Munir يكتب عن البخاري. He said, I seen Abdullah ibn Munir taking hadith and writing down hadith from Bukhari. He says, وَسَمِعْتُهُ يَقُولُ أَنَا مِنْ تَلَامِيذِ Muhammad ibn Ismail. And I heard him saying that I am from the students of Muhammad ibn Ismail. وَهُوَ مُعَلِّمُ. And he is the teacher. And Abdullah ibn Munir, he is the teacher of Bukhari. And he is of a much higher rank and level and tabaqah. But he would learn from al-Bukhari, and then he would say, I'm from the students of Bukhari. He would write a hadith from Bukhari that he did not have, any of that particular chain, and then he would say, I'm from the students of al-Bukhari. And here it's mentioned, and he is the teacher. And in reality, he is the teacher. Al-Dhahabi, he says, Qultu, and a commentary from al-Dhahabi, he mentions here, وَرَوَى الْبُخَارِي أَحَدِيثَ فِي صَحِيحِهِ عَنْ عَبْدَاللَّهِ بْنِ مُنِيرٍ. And Abdullah and al-Bukhari himself, and from those who he narrated on in his Sahih al-Bukhari, is Abdullah ibn Munir. And so he is his shaykh, and from the best of his mashayikh that he selected to narrate their narrations in Sahih al-Bukhari, and Sahih al-Bukhari. And he mentions here at Dhahabi, he gives us a benefit. He said, وَكَانَ زَاهِدًا عَبِدًا وَكَانَ زَاهِدًا عَابِدًا حَتَّى قَالَ الْبُخَارِي لَمْ أَرَ مِثْلَهُ. And this man here, Abdullah ibn Munir, he was a zahid. Any of those who turned away from the dunya and advanced in devotion to Allah. And he was devout in worship. And Bukhari, he said about him, I never seen anybody like him. And now al-Dhahabi, he gives us another benefit. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, قُلْ تُوُفِيَ هُوَ وَالْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ فِي سَنَةٍ. Tuwfiya huwa wa Imam Ahmad fi sana. Yani this man here, the Shaykh of Bukhari, his name is Abdullah ibn Munir. Dhahabi says, yani an extra benefit, that him and Imam Ahmad, they died in the same year. That him and Imam Ahmad, they died in the same year. Who knows what year that was? 241. And this does not have a direct relationship with the biography, but with regards to knowledge, it does. So now any people know, if you know this affairs, so this is the way the people of knowledge do a couple of that. So al-Dhahabi, he's mentioning this benefit here. And he's talking about the Shaykh of Bukhari and mentioning his affair and mentioning that he died in the same year of al-Imam Ahmed. So that way now a person, he can couple that knowledge and benefit from that. So now we have al-Imam Ahmed, he died in the year 241. And in the same year, one of the great scholars of Bukhari who he narrated on in Sahih Bukhari, who was very humble and pious, and who even narrated himself on Bukhari and claimed that he was a student of Bukhari while he was the teacher of Bukhari. His name is Abdullah ibn Munir. He died in the same year, 241. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. Bukhari, he says, أحفظ مئة ألف حديث صحيح وأحفظ مئتي ألف حديث غير صحيح. Al-Bukhari, he says, I memorized 100,000 hadith authentic. And I memorized 200,000 hadith that are not authentic. And so if you put them together, how many thousand? 300,000 narrations. And not meaning one hadith or different, and meaning with all of the chains together. 300,000 narrations, meaning with all the different turuq of the hadith, which could even be harder to memorize than one chain and one hadith. Now one hadith, maybe it has 10 chains or 15 chains or more, or this hadith has this many chains. And if they memorize it like this, rahimahum Allahu ta'ala, and they were masters in that. And this is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he selected them and chose them for this affair. And the issue of the chain is not a light issue. The issue of the chain is not a light issue. This is an amazing affair. And this is from the special qualities that the special and specific qualities that Allah has specified this ummah with. The Jews and the Christians, they have no chain back to their prophets or to the companions of their prophets. The chains that they have to their prophets have centuries of gaps between them. have centuries of gaps between them. And from them to their book and to the companions who met their prophet and to their prophet, the gaps that they have between there are centuries and centuries, hundreds and thousands of years between them. As for the Muslims, then they have a chain, man from man, all the way until today, yani narrating and clarifying yani the deen of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is because he's the final prophet and there's no prophet after him. So the people of knowledge, they mention, أن الله خص هذه الأمة بثلاث 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 خصال لم يعطيها أحد من الأمم. That Allah, He specified this Ummah with three special traits and special qualities, and that He did not give سبحانه وتعالى any of the previous nations. And they mentioned from that Al-I'rab wal-ansab wal-isnad. They mentioned from that Al-I'rab, the I'rab of the Quran and the I'rab of the Arabic language. And likewise, the ansab and the lineage, and the understanding the lineage, and verifying the lineage and the honor of the people, and likewise the chain. These are three affairs the previous nations they did not have. They did not have, yani like the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indication the great concern for al-i'rab, and learning the i'rab properly. This is something specific to this Ummah. The Jews, they don't have that. And the Christians, they don't have that. They don't have al-i'rab. They don't have al-i'rab. And they don't have the ansab and the honor and the nasib. And they don't have, no doubt, they don't have al-isnad, a chain, back to their prophet. Rather, we have the chain. Allah, He specified the Ummah of Muhammad with the chain. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Bukhari, he says, they heard Ishaq ibn Rahoya. He's also from the teachers of Bukhari. Ishaq ibn Rahoya. He's from the companions of Imam Ahmad, rahimahumullah. He said about himself, كأني أنظر إلى سبعين ألف حديث من كتابي. Ishaq ibn Rahoya. He says it's like I'm looking right now at 70,000 hadith from my own book. Yani, meaning in his mind, in his mind, he can see 70,000 hadith from his book that he has written. And then Muhammad ibn Ismail, he says, أو تعجبت أو تعجبت من هذا لعل من في هذا الزمن من ينظر إلى 200,000 حديث من كتابه. Or you think that's amazing? Maybe somebody else who's alive right now is looking to 200,000 hadith from his book. And he's referring to himself. He's referring to himself. And if you think 70,000 is a lot, and this is an amazing affair, that you can have this memorized in your heart and you can see it right now, he said maybe somebody else has 200,000. Maybe somebody else has 200,000 memorized in that same manner. And he's referring to himself, rahimahullah ta'ala. After this, he says, ذِكْرُ ثَنَاءَ أَدَعِمَّ عَلَيْهِ. And he, the mention of some of the praise of the people of knowledge for him, rahimahullah ta'ala. So he says, in the beginning with a narration that we had read before, it was from Muhammad ibn Salam. One of his teachers mentioned about him that whenever al-Bukhari used to come to him whenever he was a young boy, he said, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ هَذَا الصَّبِي تَحَيَّرْتُ وَأُلْبِسَ عَلَيَّ أَمْرُ الْحَدِيثِ وَغَيْرِهِ وَلَا أَزَالُ خَائِفًا مَا لَمْ يَخْرُجْ. He said, every time this little boy came into my gathering, I became confused and very nervous, and I was afraid until he left, and he afraid that he's going to make a mistake. And he, because he was known for correcting the people, and he's just a young boy, so they were afraid, yani, of slipping in front of him. So this particular sheikh, he became nervous in this manner. Another time, the same scholar, he said about him, Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi, he said, rahimahullah, لو جئت قبره, and he told one of his companions, لو جئت قبره لرأيت الصبيان يحفظ سبعين ألف حديث. He said, if you had came just a little bit earlier, you would have seen a young boy who memorized 70,000 hadith. So this individual, his name is Abu Umar Sulaym ibn Mujahid. He said, فَخَرَجْتُ فِي طَلَبِهِ حَتَّى لَحِقْتُهُ. He says, so I chased out after him, and after that little boy, until I caught up with him. وَقَالَ أَنْتَ أَلَّذِي يَكُولُ إِنِّي يَحْفَظُ 70,000 حَدِيثِ. He said, are you the one who says that he memorized 70,000 hadith? He said, قَالَ نَعَمْ. Al-Bukhari, he said, yeah. وَأَكْثَرُ. and more than that. And more than that. He said, وَلَا أَجِيُكَ بِحَدِيثٍ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَتَابِئِينَ إِلَّا عَرَّفْتُكَ مَوْرِدَ أَكْثَرِهِمْ وَوَفَاتِهُمْ وَمَسَكِينَهُمْ. And he said, he told him, you're the one who claim you memorized 70,000 hadith. He said, yeah, that's me, actually more than that. And he said, then I will not bring you a hadith from the companions or from the tabi'een, except I will tell you about the majority of them whenever they were born and whenever they died and where they lived at. And where they lived at. And not only did I memorize the chain and the narrations, but I know all about the narrators as well, their lives, yani, in detail. And this is, and he has written a book about that, huh? What was that book called? At-Tariq al-Kabir, naam. At-Tariq al-Kabir, naam. So he says, وَلَسْتُ أَرْوِ حَدِيثًا مِنْ حَدِيثِ الصَّحَابَةِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ إِلَّا وَلِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَصْلٌ أَحْفَظُهُ حِفْظًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, and there is no narration that I narrate to you from the companions or the tabi'een, except there is a foundation, yani a fundamental principle in the affairs of the deen that I memorize likewise in memory from the book of Allah, from the sunnah. Yani meaning that I understand these narrations and there are principles and there are rulings and there are legal legislation that I understand from the narrations along with that. Along with that. So and he was a master in memorization and likewise in fiqh and understanding. Rahimahullah ta'ala. It's mentioned about him, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was from the best of the scholars of hadith in his memorization and in his understanding of the narrations and in his fiqh likewise. And many of his mashayikh, they testified for him. Many of his mashayikh, they testified for him. From them, Al-Imam Ahmed, he mentioned about Al-Bukhari that no one has come from Khurasan and like Al-Bukhari, that they have never met anyone like this. And likewise, he had another teacher named Bundar who mentioned the same thing, and a number of others. And it's mentioned here that one of them was praising him, and they said, Muhammad ibn Ismail afqahu indana wa absaru bil hadith min Ahmad ibn Hanbal. That somebody said, and they're gathering, that Muhammad ibn Ismail, he has more fiqh, and we think that he has more fiqh, and he has more insight and understanding with hadith, even than Ahmad ibn Hanbal. فقيل له جاوز الحد. Somebody at this time, they said, oh man, you went too far. they said, I think Bukhari, he has more understanding and more insight in hadith than even Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So somebody at the gathering said, no, you went too far. You went too far now. Yani Imam Ahmad, he's Imam al-Sunnah. And no doubt about that. But with regards to hadith, there's no question. The most authentic book after the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is the book of al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. Is the book of al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. So the man, he says, his point, he said, لو أدركت مالكا ونظرت إلى وجهه ووجه محمد بن إسماعيل لقلت كلاهما واحدون في الفقه والحديث. He said, if you would have met Malik and you looked at his face and the face of Bukhari, you would realize that both of them, they're the same in regards to understanding and narration. And he's comparing him to Malik, yani that he was at this lofty and high rank and status, yani with regards to knowledge. There's a number of narrations, yani, about him. We try to summarize as much as we can. It's mentioned about him that he said Muhammad, yani ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, akyasu khalqillah. He was the most swift and bright of the creation of Allah. Innahu aqala anillahi ma amara bihi. First, we see the praise. He's praising him. He's the most Akyas, yani al-kayyis, al-fatin, the one who thinks, and he's swift and he's clever, and he's smart and he's bright. He says, the most swift and clever and the bright from the creation of Allah is al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And so why does he say that? Now he says, to clarify, إِنُّهُ أَقَلَ عَنِ اللَّهِ مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ. Because he understood from Allah what he commanded him. وَنَهَا عَنْهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ. And that which he has prohibited in his book. And in Bukhari, he was somebody. Why was he so bright and swift? Because he understood what Allah has commanded in his book and what he prohibited. Likewise, in his book, وَعَلَى لِسَانِ نَبِيِّهِ. And also on the tongue of his Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا قَرَأَ مُحَمَّدٌ الْقُرْآنَ شَغَلَ قَلْبَهُ وَبَصَرَهُ وَسَمْعَهُ. If Bukhari, He read the Quran, his heart and his sight and his hearing would become preoccupied. وَتَفَكَّرَ فِي أَمْثَالِهِ And he would ponder and reflect and think deeply over the parables and examples. وَعَرَفَ حَلَالُهُ حَرَامُهُ And he had well knowledge. He had great knowledge of the halal and the haram. And so this is true intelligence, to understand the commandments of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah that he has mentioned in his book, and that which he has mentioned in the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to ponder and to reflect over the book of Allah, and to think deeply about it whenever it is recited. And here's another narration similar to that which has preceded, but this time with Muslim ibn Hajjaj al-Naysaburi. They mentioned about him, Muhammad ibn Ya'qub al-Hafidh. He said, I heard my father saying, Ra'aytu Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj bayna yaday al-Bukhari yas'aluhu su'al al-sabi. He said, I seen Muslim, al-Imam Muslim. I seen him sitting in front of Bukhari asking him like he's a little boy. he's a little boy in front of his father asking him about these affairs. Meaning from the great respect and honor that they had for him and the humbleness that they had before him. And they mention likewise, وَرَأَيْتُ مُحَمَّدُ بِنْ إِسْمَعِيلِ فِي جَنَازِةِ سَعِيدِ بِنْ مِرْوَانِ وَمُحَمَّدِ بِنْ يَحْيَى الظُّهَلِي يَسْأَلُهُ عَنْ الْأَسَامِ وَالْكُونَ وَالْإِلَلِ وَمُحَمَّدُ بِنْ إِسْمَعِيلِ يَمُرُّ فِيهِ مِثْلَ السَّحَمِ كَأَنُهُ يَقْرَأُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ كَأَنُهُ يَقْرَأُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ And they were in a janazah. They were in a janazah and they seen him. And he was alongside with Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhali. He died 2 years after Bukhari in 258. And he was from his peers, also from the Mashaykh. He's from the greatest of the scholars of Hadith, Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhali. And they're walking together. He was walking with Bukhari and the people are watching him. And he said, I seen Muhammad ibn Yahya asking Bukhari about the names of the narrators and the kunyas of the narrators and the defects in the narrations. And Muhammad Ismail, he's running through them like an arrow. As if he's reciting Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. As if he's reciting Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. He remembers the names and the kunya and the narrations, and this narration has this defect, and this narrator, he was here and he made a mistake in this one, and that one made a mistake in this one, and if he narrates on so-and-so, it's authentic. And but he's running through it like an arrow, meaning like he's reciting Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. It's all memorized by heart in his mind, precisely. And they were amazed at this affair. Likewise, it's been mentioned about Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said to Bukhari, "Da'ni uqabilu rijlayk ya ustad al-ustadhin wa sayyid al-muhaddithin wa tabib al-hadith fi ilalihi." He said, let me kiss your feet. In exaggeration of praising him and honoring him. Let me kiss your feet, O ustad of the ustadhin, the teacher of the teachers, and the master and the leaders of the scholars of hadith, and the doctor of narrations in his defects and deficiencies. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.